So you want to start here on the bottom of Samach Aleph Bet by the Mishnah. Shiv'as manim avirim aleketem. There are seven types of laundering materials that we put over a stain. Rok tafel, which again the Mishnah will explain what that is. Umei grisin, umei raglaim urine, veneter natron, uborit lye, kamonia simoleon earth, vashleg lion's leaf, hidbilo. So you have a beged that has a ketem in it, and you took it to the mikveh to be metayer the beged. Basal gabab te'arot. And after that, you use this beged to do tarot. Hevir alav shimas manim. And then after that fact, they washed it with these seven materials. Velo avar. And the ketem does not disappear. It does not remove the stain. Harizit tseva. This is dye and not a ketem, not a stain from the dam of nida. That's the question that we have here is, well, when we find the stain on the beged, where does the stain come from? Is it dye? Or is it blood of the nida? If it's the blood of the nida, we have a problem of tumah. If it's dye, then it's not problematic at all. So here the test that the Mishnah is suggesting is if you wash them with these seven smanim, the seven smanim are strong enough to eliminate a ketem, a stain, but not strong enough or powerful enough to eliminate dye. So if you wash it and the stain remains, that's an indication that it's seva. Rashi seems to indicate it means for sure it's seva. Tosafot takes issue with that and says that it's probably seva. It makes it into a safek. And we'll explain that in 1 second, that Tosafot has a whole view of how the Mishnah lays out. And therefore, if he finds that it's a dye, hatarotu wrote, the tarot that he did are fine, but he doesn't have to bilin, doesn't put it in the mikveh again because there was no ketem here. Avar oshudiyet, if when he washed it with the seven simanim, it removed the stain or it faded the stain, harizaketim, that's an indication that this is dam, this was blood on it. So therefore, the beged was tmeah. And number one, a tarot tmeot, the tarot are problematic at this point because now you know you still have a ketim here, you have a dam that was here, even though you put the beged in the mikveh before, the dam nida is still present. And if the dam nida is still present, the beged is still problematic because it's tameh. Then v'tzarech latzbil, and now you have to put it in the mikveh again after you've washed it out. Because once you washed it with the seven simanim, we're going to see in the Gemara that that is mivatel the ketem. So once you've been mivatel the dam nida, then you can put it in the mikveh. Even though the color is still there, a part of it's still there, once you've been mivatel it with these washing with this washing process, then you can be put into the mikveh. But until you've done that, you can't put it into the mikveh. Now the Mishnah describes ezu rok tafel. What is this rok tafel that is the first ingredient? Kol shelo tam klum. Something that was not, someone who did not taste. It's a spittle, the saliva from an individual who did not eat on that day. And the word tafel coming from something that is tasteless without flavor. Megrisin, what are megrisim? Isat grisin shel pul, kat nefesh. It is chewed grits of beans. So if you take the grits of beans, it's the shelled bean that one chews on, the liquid that comes out of that, that's what they're describing over here. That's lisad grisim shepul chalukat nefesh. Meira glayim, when we're talking about the urine here that's used in this process, shechmitzu, urine that has fermented. Bitzarich lekaskes shalosh piamim. And then each ingredient that you put on, you have to rub the beged back and forth 3 times. Tochol echad ve'echad, like the way that you did hand laundering. Hand laundering, you rub 2 pieces of the beged against each other. You have to do that 3 times for each one of these ingredients. If you did this process of cleaning not in the order that they're mentioned in the Mishnah, oh, shevir shivas manim keachat, if you did it all at once, lo asav lo klum. The only way that this works is if you do them sequentially and in the order that's laid out in the Mishnah, and then it's efficacious in terms of removing the stain that's there. Now, Tosafot has a view in this Mishnah that we actually require here 2 things in order to say that the beged is fine. That is, number one, we require that there be a sveik sveika, that there be a double safek here. And number 2 is that you already were mevatel it through the washing of the beged. Tosafot says that the sveik sveka that is here is that once you've washed the beged and the stain doesn't come out, now you have a sveik sveka. Number 1 is we don't know now whether it's tseva, it was dye, or a ketem. And even if it is a ketem, it's a stain of blood, that ketem could have been created from an outside variable. Or the ketem could have been from a woman. So you have a sveik sveika here. We don't know if it's blood. And even if it is blood, we don't know if it's blood of a nida. So that's a sveik sveika. Number 2 is, in addition to that, we also have to be mevatelet. You have to launder it with these 7 simamanim in order that the dam nida no longer be classified as dam nida. And Tosafot explains why that is. He says, aval taima debitul uchudo mahani. If you simply launder it and wash it, why is that not sufficient to get rid of the problem of dam nida? Why isn't it patel? because you don't have that spik sveka. That's only prospectively.
The fact that he had to wash it and launder it in order to remove this stain, that's an indication that was meaningful to you. You want to remove the stain from the baguette. And by showing that you want to remove the stain from the baguette, we're going to say retroactively it was tameh. Yes, prospectively, once you're mevatel it, there's no longer dam nida here. The baguette is tahor, you have to put it in the mikveh, but there's no problem anymore. Yet, retroactively, there is tuma over here. And so therefore, bitul by itself is not sufficient, and that's why we need the sfeik sveika. If you have the sfeik sveika in addition to the bitul, then we can say not only is it prospectively tahor, but even retroactively it is tahor. And in addition, Tosu says, mi umitam sfeik sveika lechud lo haya mitarin. If you just had the sfeik sveika, we wouldn't say it's tahor. Ilai time of the bitul, without the fact that you're mevatel the damnida mishum, dirigilot lavo dami gufa. Tosu says here, it says in a number of places in the Masechta, that damnida is a common occurrence. And since it's a common occurrence, sfeik sveika by itself would not be sufficient to eliminate the fact or the chashash that the overwhelming evidence here is that it should be or considered dam nida, because that's the most likely scenario of how this got here. The sfeik sveika is not just a equal probabilities of it being dai and dam nida, and even if it's dam, maybe it's dam from outside, the overwhelming likelihood is that it came from the woman. So therefore, a sfeik sveika is not enough to be matir the beged. You need sfeik sveika together with bitul. And that's Tosa's approach, this whole sugi here, that you need two things. You need a sfeik sveika, you need a double level of sfeik, and that's why the laundering over here, when you find out it doesn't launder out, that there's a possibility it's dye, that adds in that additional layer of sfeik, as well as the fact that the laundering over here helps to be mevatel the damnida. And together, they provide the tara here. Number one, prospectively, the laundering takes care of that, even without the sfeik sveika. But retroactively, you need the sfeik sveika to eliminate the tuma. And the sfeik sveika by itself, because of the common occurrence of nida, is not sufficient by itself. It needs the bitul in order to remove this tumat nida. Tana, so we have, what is neter? What is this natron? It has to be neter alexandrit. It has to be from Alexandria, velo neter from Antipatrit, wherever that location is. Borit, when we talk about the lie, Amar of Yehuda, zeolo. That is olo, that's lie or aloe. Batanya, don't we have a brita? Borit vowel. So that sounds like they're two separate ingredients. Elamai borit, kavrita. Borit is sulfur. Veramini, hosifu alehem, malivitzin, vale onim, vaborit. Vowel. So this is, it's not really important to our Gemara. These are items that have a din of shvi'it to them. And if it's sulfur, iborit, kavrita, meat, le shvi'it. Since when does sulfur have a din in shvi'it? Sulfur is just like it's dirt of the earth. It's not something that is a plant or something that has roots in the ground, and therefore there's no reason to believe that it should have shvi'it. Atanya, we have a brayta that says that call. Anything that has, according to Rashi, roots. Anything that doesn't have roots, ain't lo shvi'it. So elamai burit. So what are you going to have to say? Olo. We have to go back to the original assumption that it's lie or aloe. Vatanya burit vo'el. What are you going to do with that brayta that we brought before that says that they're two separate ingredients? So trei gavne olo. There's two types of olo. There's olo that's called burit, and there's olo that's a standalone aloe. So that one will be lie and one will be aloe, even though the terminology olo is used by both of them. Kimonia, Amar Rav Yehuda, shaluf, dots. This kimonia, this simoleon earth, is something that was called in their day shaluf, that you pull out dots and you stick in. That was the common vernacular of this ingredient. Vashleg. Amar Shmuel, shaltino de nechuta yama. I asked all the seafarers what this ashleg is. Vamru, ashlaga shme. That's what it's called. It's called ashlaga. Mushtachach bene nikve marganita. It's found among the crevices of the pearls. Umafkale beramza de parzla. And you wedge it out with a nail
or tongs of iron.
If he used these seven ingredients and it did not remove this stain, safun, and then he uses afterwards soap. If you look in Rashi, it says sabon belaz. They use soap, vavar, and it removes it. Tarotav tmeot. Then his tarot are problematic. Safun, the Gemara says, tseva nami mavar. Why does using the soap over here help you? Because soap removes not only a stain, it also removes dye. If that's the case, when the soap worked in the end,
It doesn't mean, or it's not an indication that this was dam. It could have been dye as well. Ella, this is what we have to say that the Braita meant. Hevir alav shishas manim. He used six of the ingredients, velo avar, and it did not remove the stain. Hevir alav tzafun, and then afterwards he uses the soap, vavar, then it works. Tarotav tmeot. Then it's tarotav tmeot, shim hevir shvi, mitchila shem avar. Because had he used the seventh ingredient, then it was possible that it would have removed the ketem and it would have been damim. Even though from the first six nothing happened, didn't fade, nothing changed, nevertheless, maybe it's that seventh ingredient that would have made the difference. So you would think that because he did six and nothing changed and he didn't do the seventh, that would be enough to indicate that this is really not a ketem. Nevertheless, since he used the soap afterwards and removed it, now we're suspicious that it would have worked had he put the seventh ingredient in. And therefore, we assume that this is dam nida, and all the tarot that he did with his beged would be tmeot. Tani idach, we have an additional brayta. Hevir alav shivas manim v'lo avar. He used these seven ingredients and it did not remove the stain. Shan'an v'avar. He did it a second time. He did this cleansing process and it does remove the stain. Tarotav teorot. Then his tarot are fine. So Amar Rabbi Zeira lo shanu ela tarot shenasu ben tichboset v'shana l'shniyah. That's only for those that were done between the first laundering and the second laundering. Av tarot shenasu achar tichboset shniyah. The tarot that are done after the second laundering, tarotav tmeot, those are considered to be tmeot, sharei hikpid alav, because he was makpid on it. Ein ochanami, after the first laundering, he's mevatel the dam nida. That's what we said. That if you use these seven smamanim and it doesn't go away, then we have, number one, we have a suspicion that it might be dai and not dam. And number two is, even if it is damim, maybe it came from an outside factor, and you're being mevatel it through the laundering process. The problem is here is that after he had laundered it once and it didn't go away, he launders it a second time. By laundering a second time, he's indicating that this thing bothers him, that it's still considered to be chashuv in his eyes. If it's chashuv in his eyes, it wasn't batel. If it's not batel, now he's saying that this is tameya. Now, after the first laundering, it's batel automatically. But once he does the second laundering and indicates that he's makpid on it, that tells us that everything done prospectively from now is tamei because he's now machshiv that dam. It's makshid the dam nida, then the dam nida is mitamei the beged, because in the second laundering it did remove the dam, and that's an indication that it was dam nida. And because of that, he has now a problem prospectively until he's matbil, until he puts into the mikvah this beged. Amarle Rabbi Abba the Ravashi, mide bekveda talya milta. Since when does tuma and tara have to do with whether you're makpid or not makpid? Amle in, that is the case. The tanya, Rabbi Chiyomer, dam nida vadai. It's not a case here where we're not sure about the stain. We know for sure that his dam nidan is beged. Mavir lav zayin smanim uvatlo. He has to launder it with these seven materials or ingredients, and that is mevatelet. Vamai hadam nido. It's dam nida. How could you be mevatelet? Almo bekvedeido talya milta. It's clear from here that the Braita says the reason that after you launder it with these seven, that it's not classified as dam nidan anymore is because you're not makpid. You laundered it. You did as best as you can. And now you're going to wear the beged with the stain in it. The fact that you're going to wear it like that indicates that you don't care about what's in there anymore. If you don't care about it, it doesn't have a status of dam nida anymore. So you see that kepeda is important. Hachanamim kepeda talya milta. So too in this case where he launders it twice, we're going to say the fact that in the second instance he was makpid on it, that's enough to cause a problem for a tumah over here. Tosafot points out, in this instance you do have to launder it in order for it to be batel. Even though if someone wasn't makpid on it, I mean, they say whatever, and they didn't launder it, and they weren't makpid on it as well, we say there, betela dato etzel kol adam. We say that's not a normal view of such an item, and therefore we nullify his hakpada to what would be the normal behavior of people. And since most people would want to launder it first before they were not makpid on it, even though he's not makpid on it up front, that's not enough. And therefore the Braita says you must launder it in order for it to be batel, in order for there to be a status of not being makpid on it. Tznan hatam, Mishnah in Kelim. Charasin shnishtash mesh behem zav. You have these shards of pottery that a zav used, shibalu mashkim, that absorb liquids from the zav, v'naflula avir tanur. Afterwards, they fall into the airspace of an oven, v'usaka tanur, and then the tanur was heated up. Hatanur tamei. Tanur is considered to be tamei, shesofa mashkelet zeit. In the end, the liquid that is absorbed into these shards of pottery is going to come out. The heat will cause the liquid to be exuded from the pottery, and because of that, the oven is now considered to be tamei. Amar Reish Lakish, it comes to qualify this Mishnah. Lo shanu elo mashkim kalim. That's only true when we're talking about mashkim that only create tuma for ochlim and mashkim, but it cannot be mitamei kelim. Ava mashkim chamurim, mashkim that have a status of ava tuma, that they can be mitamei kelim, they are tamei afa pish lo usaka tanur. They're tamei even if you don't heat up the tanur. Why is that? Because there's a difference. We know before that the zav has different statuses with regards to liquids that are expelled from the zav. There's certain liquids that have a status of ava tuma. Ava tuma min haTorah can be metamei kelim. On the other hand, when we're talking about mashkim kelim cannot be metamei adam bekelim. The Rabbanan would go there by these mashkim kelim that all mashkim are metamei, create a rishon tuma by kelim, because they're choshesh for these mashkim of the zav, things that are considered to be ava tuma. So Rish Lakish differentiates between mashkim kelim, which are din de Rabbanan, and there he says that only if you heat up the oven do they have a problem with tuma. But mashkim chamurim, we're talking about things that are ava tuma, avo pish lusuk tonor. Even if you don't heat up the tanur, since so finally it's eight, they're a problem for the tanur. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, echad mashkim kalim, echad mashkim chamurim, in musaka tanur in, ilo lo. Rabbi Yochanan says that in either case, you have to heat up the tanur. Until you heat up the tanur, we don't say the potential of the liquids leaving, they are being exuded by these shards of pottery is enough to be mitameh. So, eidvei Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish's opinion. Hit below, vasal gabab tarot. This is our Mishnah. He put it into the mikveh, and then he did tarot. Virilav zayin smanim. And then he launders it with these seven ingredients, v'lo avar, and the stain is not removed. Harizet seva. We see that that is considered to be dye. V'tarotov tarot, and the tarot are fine. V'ein tzarech ladbil, he doesn't have to do a second dipping into the mikveh. So now you see from here, our case over here, that even though the color, whatever's in this beged, is still within or internally in the beged, since it's so taken to the beged and it will not be exuded after you launder it, we consider it to be batel. So you see from here that when something's absorbed in another object, if it does not come out, it's considered to be as if it's batel. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Reish Lakish. You see here that this dam nida, even though it's an avatuma, we nevertheless, once we've laundered it and we see that it doesn't come out, since it's so deeply absorbed into beged, it no longer has a din of tuma. So he answers him, oh, you're bringing an example, you're bringing me an example from tamim, which is all din derabanan. And a din derabanan, ain't ochanami, we can say it's batel. But when we're dealing with a din doraito, that we're not going to say. Tosfot points out over here, this answer of the fact that tamim are derabanan brings a kula, but not a full-fledged kula. And this, again, is Tosafot l'shitato that we mentioned before. He says, the regilo lavo, the ketamim are a regular occurrence. And since they're a regular occurrence, even though it's a din de rabbanan, we would not be mekil, except for the fact that it's ikad mitle bitzeva. That we have an additional item where we can be toleit. We can create this fake sveik over here. Therefore, we're mekil in these instances. But that is not the standard for ketamim. Even though ketamim are de rabbanan, we're not going to automatically be mekil in all cases or try to be mekil in all cases, because it is a common occurrence. It's something that, if we do not have a reason otherwise to believe that it's not a ketem, we're going to assume it is a ketem. And therefore over here, if it's a ketem derabanan, plus we have other items to put together with it, then we'll be makil. So over here, where we have the possibility of being saying that it's seva, that it was dye and not dam, that's when we'll be makil. But we're not going to be willy-nilly makil in ketemim. Ba'atani Rabbi Chiya, damani da vaday mavir alav, zayin tzmanim uvatlo. This is the braita that we just brought before. The Rebbe Chiya says that if you know for certain that there's dam nida in the beged, and you launder with the seven smanim, then it's batel. There we're talking about a din d'oraita. We're not talking about ketamim in the rabbanan. Samalei, Rebbe lo shana, Rebbe Chiya menalei. We have no evidence of what Rebbe Chiya said over here in a Mishnah. And if it's not in a Mishnah, where did Rebbe Chiya get it from? Rebbe Chiya and Rebbe Hoshea were talmidim of Rabbi. They're the authors of the braita. But if we don't find any evidence of such a statement in the Mishnah, then how could it be that Rabbi Chiya had it in a braita? It must be that it's a braita mishubeshet, and we're not going to rely on that braita. Now, third challenge, eitvei, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the third challenge against this position, Reish Lakish, via dam shnivla b'bayit. You have a reviat of dam that was absorbed in a house, habayit tamei. That house is tamei because of tumat ohel. Ramila habayit tahor. And there are those that say that the bayit is tahor, velo plige. There's no argument. Habakelim dimikara. If there were utensils in the house originally, then the revi'at dam of blood was in the house. And therefore the kelim are definitely tameim. But after the blood's already absorbed in the ground, the kelim that are found there, of course, are not tameim because the blood's already absorbed in the ground. Nivla'a b'ksut. If it was absorbed into some beged in the house, im mitkabeset yotzei, imen revi'at dam tameah. If when you launder it, a revi'at dam is exuded by this beged, then it's tameah. Vimlav Torah. So again, here you have a case where you see something that's absorbed. While it's absorbed, it does not convey tuma. But after it's laundered, after the revi'at comes out, it is conveying tuma. So again, this is like the position of Rabbi Yochanan. We're talking about tumat amet, which is tuma chamura. Despite that fact, We're saying that it's only once it's exuded, once it exits the beged, is it problematic. While it's in the beged, it's not problematic. This is a special kula by Reviot Adam, because we're not talking about regular Reviot Adam, but Shani Dam Tfusa Derabanan. Talking about Dam Tfusa is something that we'll see later in the Mesechta, which is that there is blood from a mate, and we're not sure which blood came before he passed away and what blood came from after he passed away. And you've mixed up in here blood that came out before and after. There, there's a Din Derabanan that we assume that has Tumata Mate, and there's Reviot Adam from post-passing away, but we're dealing with a Din Derabanan. And the same way that Reish Lakish had said before that Ketamim are Derabanan, and therefore there is a unique din. So to over here, by Dam Tfusa Derabanan, Reish Lakish says, again, Dam Tfusa Derabanan, and that's why this case is considered only when it's exuded from the material, only when it leaves the beged as if it didn't have Tumata Mate, but while it's absorbed into the beged, it doesn't have Tumata Mate. That is not the paradigm, that's not the usual standard, it's the standard here because we're dealing with the Din Derabanan. Eight Vei Reish Lakish, the Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish poses a question, Rabbi Yochanan, Kola, Beluash, Eino Yocholet Zeit, Tahor. Anything that's absorbed and cannot come out is Tahor. Hai Yocholet Zeit, if it has the ability to come out, Tamei, Af, Agav, Delo Nofik, even though it does not exit the item. So you see from this, it seems to be a direct proof to Reish Lakish's position. As long as somebody has the potential to exit, that's enough to be mitameh. You don't need it to physically leave the item. So now Rapapa comes and reframes the machloket here between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Am Rapapa, kohecha dein yochol letzeit velo hikpid alav. If it cannot exit the item, and you're not makpid on it, divrei hakol tohor. Both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan will agree that it's tohor. Yochol letzeit, if it has the ability to exit, vihikpid alav, and you're makpid on this item, you want it out of there, and divrei hakol tameh, both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree it's tameh. Where do they argue? Ki pligei deyochol letzeit velo hikpid alav. It has the ability to exit this item, but you're not makpid on it. You don't care whether it stays in, whether it comes out or not. Marzav, given deyochol letzeit avagav velo hikpid alav, Reish Lakish believes that the fact or the mere fact that it can exit is enough, even though he doesn't care whether it exits or doesn't exit. Nevertheless, the fact that it can exit, that's enough to make it tameh. Well, Marzav, Rabbi Yochanan believes avagav deyochol letzeit, even though it can exit, hikpid alav in, if you want it to come out, then it's a problem. If you're makpid that you want this item to come out and you want it to be exuded by this or removed from this item, then it's problematic. But if you don't, you don't care about it, then it doesn't matter. Even though it has the potential to come out, that's not enough to be metameh until it actually physically exits the item. Okay, we'll stop over here.